Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Paige Lucier Johnson. I want to welcome you all here today. I'm very excited to be rebooting my show for Blog Talk Radio, Inside the Heart's Quest, where since 2009, I have been interviewing artists, actors, healers, and humans of all sorts that follow their heart. I am very inspired by everyday people that I meet, and one of my joys in life is wanting to know more about different people, about their journey, about where they are, and how they became who they are. I feel that each person has a magic about them, and for the people that truly inspire me, I can always find that they, on some level, are following their heart. There is a special connection when you find someone who is wise and intelligent and guided. And a lot of times, as humans, we tend to think, you know, they're so lucky, or I wish I could do what they can do, or how do they do that? How do they make their life, their career look so magical? And I find that usually it has something to do with just listening to that inner whisper and that inner voice that tells you what to do and how to do and how to just follow your divine quest. I'm very honored today to be interviewing someone that's been inspiring me for a number of years now. In 2012, I left New York City and moved to a small, quiet corner of New Hampshire. And when I was first here, I felt I was going to be going through some severe culture shock, and don't worry, I did. But the amazing thing was, everywhere I went, I found magical people, and I found people that were from New York or from other parts of the country, and somehow we all kind of ended up in this little magical corner of southwestern New Hampshire. And I have been going to concerts in New Hampshire for a number of years now. There's been a solstice choir run by a magical woman named Maribeth Hallinan, who brought this beautiful choir to our small little corner of New Hampshire. And I remember two or three years ago sitting in the pews and watching this on a magical, dark winter solstice, feeling absolutely inspired by the music, the story, and this woman. And since then, I've got to know her much better. In fact, I even got to participate in this choir last solstice. And not only was it a wonderful experience for me, being someone who's a little shy as a singer, but just from a spiritual experience, it was really quite lovely. And the more I got to know Maribeth as a choir instructor, I got to see her light shine through as a gifted singer, teacher, director, and guide. She is very wise and smart and funny, and she made me feel wise and calm, even amidst the chaos and fear of singing in public. But it was a big challenge for me personally to be able to step out of that fear. And she was able to guide me through that in a very non-judgmental way and really ease me into the whole experience. Maribeth is also a champion of music in many other ways. Since I've got to know her, I found out that she runs multiple choirs and singing workshops and does camps. She's an intuitive trained sound healer, and has spent a lifetime synthesizing her voice into the world. When the COVID experience in 19 started happening, she started going online with Facebook and doing these beautiful, magical chants for calming and grounding. And it really was a fantastic experience. And today, we are going to have her here today. Now, Miss Maribeth, are you online now? I think she's here quite yet, so I will do a little bit more of some magical introduction, letting her know and letting you know more about her. Her website is fundamentallyharmonic.com, and you can find out more about getting sessions and workshops. She does group workshops and solo workshops. She does lessons and also has many choirs in the area. If you go to her website, there's something interesting that's on there. One of those is that she's talking about sound from a healing level. And I have always been very interested in sound as a healing experience, because sound is such an amazing way to connect to people. And through her vibrations of her gong and her singing, Maribeth really is able to connect with so many of us in that way, and to bring us into a healing point. I know that working with her just as a community member in the Solstice Choir was a very, very moving experience for me. I was able to kind of move through that fear-based that was afraid to sing in public, and we were able to connect to a different part of myself. I left at least one meeting completely sobbing and crying, because I was really breaking through a threshold for myself, being afraid to sing and being afraid to connect. And she was really able to pull me through that shell, and in a really loving, guiding way, able to help me connect to my voice and sing in public for the first time in eons. And it was terrifying and wonderful. And speaking of terrifying and wonderful, we're doing a live radio show. And of course, there's some technical difficulties. Maribeth is on the line. She can hear me, but we cannot hear you. So if you don't mind, just give me a second to put on my tech dashboard perspective and try to go in and try to see if we can get you back on. Maribeth, I did email you the host ID and call-in number, so you should be able to log in that way. If not, then I'm going to go in to see if I can if that doesn't work, we do have a guest call-in, 999-3492. I have never actually had callers call in, but if you do have questions for Maribeth or I, about our life, our journey, and our experience, I am absolutely excited and willing and nervous to take calls. So let's give that a try. I do see that I have a few live listeners here on the dashboard, which is exciting. Let's see. We're going to go into our show right now. We are going to go to the dashboard, and I'm going to see if I can approve. Isn't technology fun? We live in this amazing world where we can Zoom and talk and do radio shows through our own homes. I had a job for a long time working in a radio show in a studio, and this is so different, sitting in your living room and talking instead of being live in a studio and pressing buttons. It's a very different experience, but still a lot of fun. And it is fun to be able to see people, to call in. I'm going to give Maribeth a number to try to call in to see if she can try that line instead, and to see if I can approve that way. And while we're doing that, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about myself. I know that some of you have been listening to my radio show, and thank you so much for that. I've been doing this radio show since 2009. I've interviewed some wonderful people. And the thing that I love about interviewing and talking to people is I love finding out more about how we all came to where we are, to our perspectives in life. And I always ask people, you know, how do you follow your bliss? What makes you happy? And being able to do that for other people to listen and share with me, I find is an absolutely magical experience, because when we are in this world, we're all kind of caught up in our own world and our own drama, and it's hard to sometimes have perspective and see the magic in other lives. And sometimes people don't even see the magic in their own selves. And I've had many times where I ask someone if they'd like to be on my radio show, and they go, "What? Why?" And it's because I see magic in them, and I want to be able to them, and I want to be able to. I think I just got you, Maribeth. Yes, I did.
Woo-hoo! Awesome.
We're here. We're live. How exciting and scary!
It's exciting. It's not. It actually was just kind of frustrating. I haven't been on a radio since I had a radio show in like the 80s at a college. So, yeah.
With
awesome.
This new technology, it's all online. It's digital. I've definitely done the radio college shows as well, and I've worked in radio studios in the past. But this is a kind of a different experience because we're kind of in the comfort of our own home and our own world, but we could still talk to each other and get some
totally.
People
it's
to listen.
Super sweet. Yeah, I ended up having to come through my telephone instead of the computer, which was a little disappointing, but I am on the
phone.
Actually,
it worked great because I saw your phone number pop up, and I was like, oh, that works. And speaking of phone numbers, if anybody wants to call in, I do know that I can see that we have some live listeners, which is very exciting. So if anyone has questions, hold them until the end, and then I'd love to take your questions, and we can talk a little bit more about it. But I really want to talk to you, my dear, and learn more about you because I'm very inspired by who you be, and I think you are doing wonderful soul work in this world. And as someone who notices other people's magic, I've been kind of, you know, inspired by you from afar for a long time. And when I've been kind of thinking about rebooting my radio show for quite some time, and I've been shy and not quite comfortable to do it. And finally, you know, sitting at home during COVID, I kind of realized I have to get back to this. And so I was like, who can I interview? And of course you came up right away because I have been, you know, I worked with you during the Soulstice Choir, which was a really big experience for me. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And then, During COVID, you really did such good work for the collective. You know, you were getting online and you were doing these beautiful grounding sound sessions and really just connecting to us on a whole different level. So I wanted to ask you about about your journey. Tell me a little bit about how you began and how you are and what you do now.
I will. I was trying. Couldn't imagine the things you were going to ask. So it's kind of fun to kind of start at the beginning.
Yeah.
I will say that as a young adult, I really had no. I had so many ideas of what I wanted to be that I couldn't choose. And I did some college hopping, but I really wanted to go to this. At the time, Prescott College in Prescott, Arizona was. They had no grades and no classes, and that's where I really wanted to go. But it wasn't accredited, so my parents wouldn't let me go. But I drove away from home on the East Coast and drove cross country with a friend and stopped at the college. And the most powerful meeting I had was with one of the admissions directors there at the time. And when he said, of course, you know, what are you interested in? And I said, I listed about six things. I said, I just don't know what to choose. And he said, you don't have to choose. You can be each one, you know, in turn, or even a synthesis of all of them. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I don't need to go to the school. I just need to hear this. And that's really, and that was the beginning of the beginning, you know, because when I realized it wasn't, you know, who I am doesn't necessarily fit into the tried and true traditional, you know, school package, and that I could just slowly over the years, which I've done, just keep stretching into more and more of myself as I evolved. And it's been pretty cool. And And I also tell my private students that never, never have I done something when I think I've never waited until I feel completely ready. I've always jumped and leapt, just as you did, Paige, with this, right? You're like, it's time to reboot this radio show. I'm just doing it. Scary and all. You know, because you just have to do it. And it either flies or it doesn't fly. And if it doesn't, well, there's the next thing. So,
and I love that you're looking at yourself from all the different aspects of who you are, because that's such a great thing to think about, because we're more than just one thing. We encompass so much in life.
Totally, totally. And I have to say, I've been really lucky to, you know, be able to synthesize a really unique existence and economy from the skill sets that I was, you know, born with and then spent years developing. And there is no, you know, part of it is location and the Monadnock region of New Hampshire, but, you know, the other part is luck, you know, and, you know, being in the right place at the right time. And I can't stress that
synchronicity
enough. You know, I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. For
so
sure.
So you did not go to school in Arizona. You stayed on the East Coast.
No. Yeah, well, I ended up in Colorado for a while, but I did, you know, I did the typical waiting tables and cleaning houses and all sorts of things that I could do, and really started out musically in piano bars in the ski resorts in Colorado. And that was just a blast. and I started as a young, you know, middle schooler and high schooler writing songs and singing songs. And, you know, so I spent a lot of time doing that and gigging around. And then when I moved back east, I, you know, and started having children, I literally put out three flyers, one for music lessons, one for tutoring, and one for singing telegrams, because I also used to do singing telegrams in a former incarnation. And the thing that took off at that point in time was private teaching, private music lessons. And, you know, 30 years later, I'm still doing that, piano, voice. Mm-hmm. At the time, I did some, you know, I dabble in some flute and penny whistle and recorder. Most of my students now are piano and voice. And the, you know, when my, let's see, 1998, I started conducting choirs. And then we first met, if you recall, at the Peterborough Players, because I had some stints there doing some music direction for the second company show. I did a lot of accompanying for their rehearsals, and I played second piano along with Michael Sebastian in I Do, I Do. So, you know, I had a few years, I don't know, probably half a dozen years there, you know, assisting with productions there, and also was at around the same time I was at Convel doing musicals there, music directing their musicals after Rain Sweeney retired. So, again, this community, right, has been a container where I've just been able to keep stretching and stretching and stretching and becoming, which is kind of unique.
So I have to ask you, there's this part of me that keeps wanting to ask this question, so I have to ask it. I want you to tell me about your first gig and how you stepped out as a young person, just being a musician. You know, you said you were kind of a piano player and your first gig? What was that first experience like when you stepped out on your own?
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. I have several firsts, but the first was in high school. You know, I was a band geek, and I was in all the choruses and select choruses. And my piano teacher at the time knew that I was writing songs, and he said, "Why don't you do one of your songs at the spring concert?" And in my memory of my high school, no one had done that. No one had just gotten out, like, in between the band and the chorus and done their own song. And so I was a little freaked out, but I thought, wow, I'm just going to do this. What the heck, you know? Feeling my oats as nearly a senior. I don't know, actually, I think I was a sophomore, but anyways, I was feeling my oats anyways. And yep. I played and sang in the whole gym, right, because all those concerts are in gyms. The whole gym was completely silent while I was playing and singing, and I had never experienced that before. Like they were really listening, and they were listening to me. I'm going to get teary-eyed right now, even just talking about it. Yeah, because I had never felt more affirmed, and that those brief moments we have throughout our life of like, oh, this is actually what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. You know, when they just when those moments that just click and you drop in and everything disappears and yeah, and I finished the song and, you know, my peers, of course, applauded and stood up and it was very powerful. Very, very powerful.
So that feeling, that's what I love. That's what I love talking about and kind of dissecting, because I think we all have those magical moments, those when you feel it, when you feel that kind of connection, that divine magic that just kind of flows from your energy, and you feel like the universal yes, and you go, okay, I don't understand it, but yes, okay, I will take that.
You don't even need to put words to it, because it's such an overpowering sensation that everything, all of your cells are saying yes. You know, your cells are going,
Yes,
that's
exactly
how I feel with sound. Yeah, that's how I feel with sound healing as well. I mean, that's the, you know, latest sort of incarnation of my musical sojourn, you know, my experience with.
It's so interesting because I feel like you're such a natural healer. Like every time I've seen you with children or, you know, even, you know, running the choir, you definitely pick out, sometimes it's tough love, sometimes it's compassion, you definitely kind of pick up on that kind of what we need to kind of get through, and there's so much healing that can come through sound. I mean, sound just connects to the body viscerally, and everyone has that song that they put on repeat, and I just feel like sound is such an important part of our life. But how did you kind of take ownership of that connection to divine, that you were not just a singer and not just a teacher, but that you were going to step out and help others through this passion of yours?
Well, it's interesting because I did not consider myself to be, as you just said, you know, like a natural healer. I mean, a natural teacher, yes, I always considered myself to be that, but over the years I had several very key people in my life who said that very same thing that you just said, you are a natural healer, you know, and I said, really, and for me, it's more that I don't consider myself a healer. It's that I really operate from a place of love. And I think it's that love, you know, and sound that do the healing. You know, when you're met with love, you can be open. And when you relate to sound, sound has this ability to return us to ourselves. And so really I'm a facilitator of that, but I think it is because I move from love.
I think I can see that. I think that whenever we do anything from love, people can recognize that, and the spirit kind of connects to that, and will work with it. what do you do in terms of what kind of things have you found that work? So if you work with intentional healing through sound, what does that mean?
What does it mean? So. A great question. Well, you know that feeling we were just talking about a little while ago when you just drop in and your whole body, and you just feel in alignment, right? Your body feels in alignment when you're doing something you love, or when you're holding a baby, you know, or your child, you know, like this, there's just this connection of love that happens. And so when we are out of alignment, and I'm hoping this is going to answer your question, when we, you know, there are so many instances when we are not in that magic and that alignment. But sound can bring us back there. And so sound, because we, our bodies and our souls and the liquids in our body and our cells, they entrain themselves to the vibrations of sound. So that's why it feels so great when you're singing with someone and you nail this unison part, or you're really nail the harmony, right? You get that feeling. And sound healing is very much like that. And the intention there, and again, my intentions start with love, but my intentions also start with, you know, what is the intention of the person who has, you know, connected with me and asked me to work with them. You know, oftentimes it's a grounding intention. Like, there's so much out there. I'm in limbo for far too long. I've been inside too long. I don't have any personal space. You know, all the things I do that keep me happy and singing, I can't do anymore because of COVID. And so the sound will just ground us, right? The intention of grounding, lower frequencies, our nervous system will just entrain. And it's incredible.
One of these magical moments that I had with you was at your Vespers, where you came in and we were just kind of singing, and you were doing this kind of chant with us, and you said that you'd worked on a chant, but that it surprised you because it was different than you'd imagined it. And I've always wanted to ask you more about that. Like, how do you create? Like, what are you creating when you're creating chants and sounds? Are you channeling it, or is it something you're just total? Okay. When you're channeling it, do you prepare it ahead of time and then write it down? Mm-hmm. Or, like, what's that creative process for you?
I do. I write them down, not the notes or anything. Once the notes are in my body, I can recreate them. I can hear them once they've come to me. But my songwriting has always been a visceral experience where the information bubbles either into me or up out of me. And if you could see me, I'm literally, my hand is coming down from the crown of my head, or it's just going up from my gut. And that's how music is. That's how I've always been, my relationship with music, but especially songwriting. And the chants, I will usually just sit and chant, by myself, chant Om or hum or whatever. And then I just kind of meditate about what do I feel like, what is my sense that people might need at this moment? And then maybe a word or two will pop up. Sometimes they pop up. Sometimes the words and ideas pop up in my yoga practice. But they pop up, and then I'll sit, and then I'll kind of take those words and I'll play with my different bowls and see which notes the words like. And then usually the chant, I find that kind of a set of notes, then the chant will just write itself. And I remember that night that you talked about, because what was really cool is people were singing some harmony. And it was, I usually hear one note, one main melody. And sometimes if I've been chanting the chant a lot, then of course other parts will pop into my head. But what was really amazing about that night was there were just different sounds that I hadn't, heard yet. And I loved it. I loved it. And that is what, to me, is so powerful about chanting, intentionally chanting in a circle like that, because it takes a life of its own.
It's very intimate, because when your voices blend with other people, it creates this instant intimacy. Like, I felt that there. I remember that night. I kind of rushed in. I was a little late. We sat down, and then there was this hush that just kind of went over all of us as we just let our voices kind of meld and mix. And there is that kind of when you sing, there is a connection with the other people around you as your voices meet, which is, because you think of, it's from our heart, it's from it's really resonating and starting from our heart. So when it comes out in love like that, it feels really magical when you have different voices, and especially when it was strangers. Like, it felt very intimate.
Exactly.
I'd never met these people, and here we were, singing, and it was a really very cool experience to be there.
Yeah.
And
well, you were literally, you're literally on the same wavelength, right? When we're singing together, because sound is a wave. Mm-hmm. And you're literally on the same wavelength. And it's a beautiful thing. And people are always saying that, singing breaks down barriers, but it really does. It shows us instantly and intimately, as you said, that we are all connected. There is no me, there's no you, there's just us.
when you have words, it's so easy that the ego can go in and start kind of breaking it down and dissecting it, or putting judgments or hurt or past experiences and stories behind it, so it can get clouded with our own stories. But when it's just notes, when there's just that sound, that vibration that's coming out, it really does kind of bring you back to that, you know, we all, before there was us, there was sound. You know, I feel like sound is kind of this natural state of the universe. And when we can connect on it, and not necessarily in language or in words to be able to express that, it is a really cool experience. Now, do you consider it like light language, or do you consider it more like toning? Because that's a big discussion.
I haven't ever labeled it. I know it is a big discussion, which is why I don't go there. I tend to just shy away from those kinds of labels, because I think, again, they go toward their own stories that people construct around them, and biases and dogma. And so I just consider it inspired. And
I think that's a good way to do it, because I think that I feel like everyone right now is kind of, we're all kind of in some way stepping out of our spiritual bubble. Like, we're talking more to other people about it. I think as a humanity right now, we're all realizing we need to talk and come together and kind of evolve. But it can get messy, because there's all these different backstories behind it. And that's what I think is so beautiful about sound, is that it kind of gets you past that. Like, you don't have to put labels or sounds or judgment. It's just vibration. It's people connecting.
Yeah, and it's a kinesthetic experience. It's like an undeniable kinesthetic experience, which, you know, is a spiritual experience.
You mentioned some that you get some of your sounds almost through yoga. Like, what is the difference between, like, physical movement and sound, and channeled sound?
Well, I think for me, the reason I said I get it through yoga is just sometimes if there's a particular movement that that unblocks something in my body, then that will release, you know, an emotion, and that's where the inspiration will come. Does that make sense?
So, kind of like when you sigh or you hurt yourself and you make a sound, it kind of happens organically like that.
No, normally for me, it's a sensation. It's a kinesthetic sensation first, and then a word will come up, and the sound might not even come during yoga. And the yoga was just like an example. Really, most of my play in my, you know, either at the piano or with these sound healing instruments result in a particular vibration that inspires. Right, that just opens up a channel that inspires, and something bubbles up, and there we are. So I know it's not systematic or anything.
No, it's intuitive, and that's good almost, because you don't have
intuitive.
To get logged down by books and labels and practices. It can flow through you. Like the part of you that was in your first gig that day, everything was silent and everyone was leaning in, that's the part of you that kind of leans in and facilitates.
Exactly. And so the reason that that yoga acts as a conduit is because sometimes it's in that movement where I feel that, I suddenly feel that connection go bing, right, or pop. And I'll feel that lack of separation, you know, that I'm just I'm a portal, right, between the heaven and the earth. That and our voice is like that as well. Our voice, we're just our body is a channel for our voice. We're not our voice. You know, we are bringing forth sound, but, you know, the thing that hangs us up the most as singers is connecting our ego and our personhood to that voice, right?
Mm-hmm. It's so,
oh, I can't sing,
it's
or
so
whatever.
Much the ego, because that's one thing that you, when I was doing the Solstice Choir for you, is that I love singing. And when it was in the Vespers and we were just chanting and it was sound and it was like meditation, it was flowing. But the minute the ego head starts going in of I'm not good enough, or this isn't good enough, or am I good enough, or what are people going to, those, that kind of incessant talk, that kind of pushes you away from things. And like, I was so afraid that I knew I had to do it, but
yeah,
it
that's
was,
so great. Yeah.
And yeah, I've always kind of been like, well, I'm terrified. I guess I might as well just do it.
That's right. That's right.
But what do you say to people? Like, so many people say, and I've been one of them, oh, I can't sing, or I'm not good enough at that, or, you know, like, what does that come from, and how do we heal that about ourselves?
Well, my first response to people when they say they can't sing is that that's a story. You know, that it's a story that either someone told you or that you've told yourself. Normally, that comes from somebody somewhere saying, you can't sing, or please stop singing, that sounds awful. And remind me what the second half of your question was.
Well, how do you move past that? Like, how do you get past that ego voice?
Yeah. Well, so the way that I teach singing in my private studio is, and that I also try to facilitate in choirs, but it's much more profound in the private setting, is that until we can embody a particular sound, you know, and really have that kinesthetic experience, we can't fully actualize our voice. So that's what my work is. My work is, okay, let's take that set of muscles has nothing to do with singing. Let's just make this sound. Let's make this sound. Now try this sound this way. And then immediately people say, I had a student yesterday who's been studying with me only since COVID, and she said, oh my gosh, I have had so much progress through the simplest methods. And all of them, you know, involve, like, we're not talking about the ego. We're talking about where does that sound live. Once you know what a sound feels like, you can sing. And then you can open up the whole rest of your voice. And the range that you were born with. I mean, there are some, you know, right, there is a physical limitation to our throat and our vocal folds, but there's not a limitation that we, you know, there's not any other real limitation, except for maybe the person who had no music growing up, so they don't have a soundscape in their head. But in this day and age where we are inundated with music, everyone has sounds in their head that they can replicate, you know.
Do you think that when we're making sounds, do you feel like it's almost connecting to different memories?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it can, absolutely. Because our vehicle is our body, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everything that we've experienced lives still in our body. And the self-talk comes from that lived experience, right? But, you know, what we know about, I'm just going to throw trauma out there because it's so studied now. But, you know, what we know about trauma is it literally hangs out in particular places, right? It hangs out in the fluids. It hangs out in our fascia. And so for sure, all of that is connected to our voice.
It's interesting. I read a study once about how when animals get frightened or scared, they basically turn over and shake uncontrollably for a couple minutes or seconds, and then they get up and walk away. They don't have memory of it anymore. And humans have lost that ability to just kind of trauma release. So rather than releasing the trauma, we are quiet and we you know, brush it off, pull up our bootstraps, and we, you know, forge ahead because that's what humanity does, you know, at least our culture, for sure here in the West. And so in terms of that trauma release, like, are there ways that if anybody's listening, like just sounds that someone could make on their own that they could just try to work on to help release?
Well, what I would say, you know, not knowing anyone's particular voice, you know, is, and what I do say to groups of people is find the note that really resonates with you. So just sit quietly and comfortably and hum all across your range slowly. And you'll find that different notes will resonate in different places. Some of them will feel really great. Some of the notes might feel like you want to cry. there's some information, right? There's all sorts of mm-hmm. information. And I do in my private lessons, I do teach people, help them learn how to do these subtle shakes and sometimes even some bigger shakes. And certainly all of my vocal students during this time, we start every single lesson with really physical exercises so that, you know, we can get rid of some tension from the get-go because there's so much anxiety right out there right now. You know, but mostly sitting quietly, start humming. Humming is amazing. Humming will, you know, even just 5 minutes of humming will go right to the vagus nerve and completely reset your nervous system. And then
vagus
you can get
nerve,
the information
what does that mean?
From there. Vagus nerve is the longest. It's like the biggest nerve that goes all the way through the body. Goes all the way from your gut and then up into behind your ear. And so the vagus nerve is really responsible for a lot of, like, our hearing and making sound, which is really cool. Yeah, there's so much reading you can do on that.
Behind the ear, is that why when we hear our voice, it always sounds different to us? Like
no,
when
well,
we
that's
hear our
the bony. Well, that's the bony, you know, that we are hearing through our bony structure and other people are not. That's the difference, yeah.
It's so interesting how the voice, it takes on so many different personalities. There's the voice that you feel that you have. There's the voice that you hear. There's the voice that you're afraid to do in public. There's the voice that you want to have. And there's all,
mm-hmm.
and then there's that conversation of our inner voice. And then there's,
absolutely.
You know, speaking our truth. So there's so many different levels and ways that our voice and our sound is connected to who we are on this planet and who we are intending to be. What is it that you
absolutely.
Feel about, like, choirs? Like, you do a lot of also, like, you founded multiple choirs. And so what is
mm-hmm.
it about, like choirs, like going to, and COVID is changing that, right? Like we can't really do
completely.
Concerts
yeah,
right now.
Right.
So
yep.
what does that mean for like how, like music, singing together, that experience, how do you feel about that? I guess.
Well, I spent 2 solid months grieving at the outset
mm-hmm.
of COVID.
Yep.
Because that is, you know, singing with people is one of the vital pieces of my life that feeds me deeply,
mm-hmm.
and not just directing, but and bringing people into that fold also feeds me immensely. And because I just know the power of, you're right, you can walk into a rehearsal and be completely exhausted, and by the end of the rehearsal, you feel completely different. You feel great. You feel da 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 da, challenged, connected, You know, I grieved. How do I feel about that? I grieved deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're adjusting. You know, the virtual singing is nothing like singing with multiple voices. When I do Zoom sings, you know, people essentially are singing along with me, which is kind of cool. So they get to imitate this one voice. And you become a stronger solo singer rather than an ensemble singer. But I'm not a fan of virtual choirs. I think they're super cool and everyone loves them. I'm not a fan of
and we're
creating
adapting.
Them. Let me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
well,
we're adapting. So it's that kind of, we're healing. So we're trying to adapt to the new world
as much as
possible.
Right. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think there will be a time, and there even is a time, you know, for being able to gather in small groups outside from a huge distance, and, you know, be able to sing. But it's very different than standing next to someone and feeling that, you know, sound, be riding that wave like you did during that Vesper
mm-hmm.
service, you know.
Right. Now, what kind of instruments do you connect with? You said that you have a lot of different instruments that you play and that you use in workshops and healings. Like, how
mm-hmm.
do you just kind of experiment and play, or do you feel like instruments find you, or different times or different feelings you connect with different music?
Well, the piano was always my, after singing, which mm-hmm. just came very naturally to me as a young person, the piano I really gravitated towards, and I've dabbled in other instruments. I was quite a good flute player back in the day. Now I'm quite a good flute teacher, but not such a great player. and in terms of the sound healing, most of those instruments came to me. I just gravitate toward them. Like if my body responds to a particular instrument, there's Tibetan bowls, there's crystal singing bowls, there's tingcha, which are these cool Tibetan chimes, tuning forks, these that are, therapeutically tuned to help align the body. It's kind of cool. So it's really what I resonate with, essentially, is what I go with.
And does it change depending on the person or depending on your mm-hmm. mood or your...
Yep, absolutely. But especially the person, because you can sense, I feel as though I can sense, some of the bowls are really intense. Mm-hmm. Some of the forks are really intense, right? So so it definitely changes based on the person that I'm interfacing with, because, you don't want to overwhelm energy. It's really easy to do with sound, right? Right? When you go to the gas pump, there's a lot of sound you like. It's like, rah.
It sounds to me like you're not just a singer. You're also a listener. Like, it sounds to me like a mm-hmm. lot of what you do is you're definitely a singer and you move sound through you, but it sounds like a lot of what you do intuitively is kind of listening and picking up to that kind of...
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I've I've also always been an empath, so that helped. It's a double-edged sword, but that's certainly... Mm-hmm. Now that I can ground it, I feel like I have a pretty good handle on it. But it also just comes from being an empath at my core, and really being able to sense someone's energy when they walk into a room, and then hold it and guide it.
Sorry to interrupt, but how did you feel stepping out as an empath? Because I know that so many people that I interview and talk to, we kind of keep our spirituality and our kind of inner connection, right? Kind of, it's more private, mm-hmm. something that you kind of open up to, so you find someone, you're like, oh, we've known each other for 10 years and we just realized we have similar, feelings about the universe. Like, and stepping out, going from, a performer and an artist to kind of stepping out to being like, I'm going to help other people. What was your journey in being able to step out and do that and just be an empath quietly in public?
Yeah, it's a great question because, and the real answer is it took me a long time. I've got my first training. I had my first training and my first tuning forks in 2003. And they literally sat in I brought them home to Peterborough. I was in upstate New York, brought them home to Peterborough, and I thought, I can't do this here. All my voices said, nope, not here, not now. And, it wasn't until about maybe 4 years ago that I took them back out. I had another interaction with, another training with tuning forks, and I went, oh, right. And it resonated in a totally different way. And I realized, again, very similarly to that first gig in high school, I realized I cannot not do this. And I just started sort of integrating the forks with my students and the bowls with my students and seeing, remarkable change, like really profound change.
So when you were giving
change.
Lessons.
Yeah, especially for vocalists, because the sound can break through emotional blockages so much more quickly than words. And I would use, for years I was using words and, descriptive imagery. And then I started using these forks more and more, and people went, oh.
Interesting.
Suddenly opened
they
up.
They just
connected. Yeah, it was cool. Yeah. And so then then I got a little more training and just started offering these really amazing sessions. And I'm only a little
and
shy about it now.
And workshops too. Like and workshops too. Like you like tell me more about your workshops, because one-on-one lessons are interesting, but how do you facilitate a group of people, especially if they're strangers? What is that
yeah.
like?
Well, it's really very similar to what you experience in Vespers, right? So it will be a much more general intention, right, of grounding and healing and opening. And many of my workshops are in collaboration with other practitioners, which is really cool, because then, you know, I will do some opening work and help, you know, clear energy at the beginning, help put people on the same wavelength again, and then we move into other things. A lot of my real impetus is helping people sort of unearth what does their voice really want to say, you know, and that comes in so many, as you said, there's so many different manifestations of our voice, right? Mm-hmm. Emotional, rational, instinctual, fear-based, you know, just, and so that's a pretty easy thing to do in a crowd because most of us have a very similar relationship with our voice, that we're confident in one area but not so much in another. And so just opening up space, and then as one person opens up, the next person says, oh, me too. You know, and it's quite organic, let's put it that way.
When you, like, how did you find the Solstice Choir? Like, how do you find your music? Like, when you're creating choirs and concerts and kind of doing that more for, like, the public or the community or the collective, how are you finding music? What does that mean for you?
Well, the reason I started the community choir, the Two Rivers Community Choir, is because I wanted, because music and choirs are the one way that people physically understand that we are so much more than the sum of our parts. And that when we are together, when we are working together for a common goal, we all benefit. And so the music that I choose really needs to feed that in some way. And I have a lot of pieces people say, hey, look at this, you're going to like this, or hey, this sounds like you, or you know, and I buy a lot of music and I seek it out, but it really has to fit that, are we going to be better, you know, are we going to be better humans singing this, are we going to, you know, and are we going to inspire the listeners as well? So not just inspire ourselves, but inspire the listeners, whether it's through something light and laughing or something really poignant and deep. The Solstice is a unique thing because in my role as the music director at the Unitarian Church, the minister there had sung that music when she was in Washington State. And she said, I want you to see that. I want you to look at this and can see if you'd ever be interested in doing it. And I saw the music and I heard the music and I went, oh my, it was, again, another one of those visceral, I have to do this music.
Well, it was
because
so healing.
So beautiful.
I remember sitting in the church and listening to that Solstice Choir that first time. And it was a magical experience. And it really took me by surprise because I wasn't expecting it. You know, it was this kind of feeling that washed over. And then I went back the next year. I was like, I can't wait to see and experience that. And I remember sitting in the seat and going, I want to sing that next year.
Yeah, so great. That's so great.
It was that kind of experience where it kind of opened up something in me that wanted to try something new.
Right, right. And that is the measure of a song for me. That's the measure of a song. You know, is it going to open us?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, do you sometimes, like, just hear a song and you go, that's it? Or sometimes do you have to listen to a song over and over? Or do you, you know?
No, I have very little patience for listening. I have very little patience for listening to a song. If it does not hit me in the first 30 seconds, I often won't even continue listening. It's really, again, it's that visceral feeling I get. Now, that's listening. Because you can imagine over the years how many people I've interfaced with and how many people send me, you know, music.
I'm sure.
So I don't listen to all of them. Also for me, since I can read music, you know, if I have a sheet in front of me and I look at the text, and if the text is moving, well, that's going to get me in a heartbeat, and then I'll check out, you know, what the music sounds like after the fact.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And
yeah,
when you are creating, because I feel like you do a lot for the collective. Like, I feel like you kind of,
mm-hmm,
you create a lot for this community, and I think you do it with that kind of love that you bring to this area, that you're like, how can I make the world a better place? And I can sense that about you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, too, because you touch so many different people in so many different ways. You have your Vespers, which is like a church experience. You have the, you know, the community choir, which is more like, you know, everyone is invited, and there's, you know, you work with children and actors and performers, and then you have,
mm-hmm,
lessons. Do you feel like, how, a lot of people say, okay, well, I know my dream, I've connected, I've had that yes moment, I know I want to do this, but I don't know how to do it. So for you, what advice would you give to someone that is trying to follow their heart? And they're struggling.
I would tell you, you know, tell them what I tell my kids. Like, if you do what you know, if you do what you love, the way will become clear. Like, I know that's really so overused, but it's not about logistics. And yes, I am a firm believer in making lists and making game plans. You know, I am a choir director after all. I have a plan, but the plan is only one part. You know, the plan is, yes, you can't implement something if you don't have a plan, but you also, if you don't just trust that what you love, you know, has meaning, and start.
And there's a little bit
take
of faith, too. Like,
yeah,
you,
yeah,
in high school, when your teacher said,
yeah,
do you want to sing something that you've done before, you could have said no. You could have said,
right,
I'm not ready. But
yeah,
you did take that leap. So it sounds like it's a yes for you too. It's about like saying yes to the opportunity,
mm-hmm,
instead of following it.
For sure. Yeah. And you know, there are also times, like, I haven't always said yes, but most times I do. Even if, and like you said, right, even if it's the most terrifying, that's the time that I think, oh, this really needs to be a yes, because I have no idea what I'm doing.
And sometimes it's a seed. I loved how you said how you had the tuning forks in your room for, you know, a couple years.
Yeah.
And it,
mm-hmm,
and it, then you're, so sometimes ideas come to us then as almost like seeds that we're planting and we're not ready to harvest yet. So you could just kind of put them away, and when the time is ready, eventually you'll feel the yes.
Yeah, that, and that's the trust, I think. That's that, you know, and because I'm a list maker and that's how I dream also, how I dream into things is if I get these crazy ideas, I just write them down. And I might not even look at that piece of paper again. But then when I find that yellow pad, you know, and I look at it and go, oh, my gosh, right. Is this the time for this? Actually, it is. You know, or, oh, my gosh, I actually did that, you know.
That's a good feeling. Well, we're almost at the one-hour mark. I think that it's just us right now. We've had some inner listeners that have come in and out. This will be a podcast, so people will be able to listen to this forever from now on. And I just want to take a second to thank you for kind of stepping out for me, because I know I asked you to do this, and you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about, Paige, but I'll sure.
Oh, yeah, because well, that's what I mean. I do tend to say yes, because I just felt like there's something I really resonate with you. You know, I really resonate with you, and I knew that you wouldn't ask if it wasn't something I could trust. And and it felt,
thank you.
And it feels good to say, to be a, you know, to even on this small level, to, if you've got this dream and I can help with it, oh my gosh, yes, because it's easy. This is easy to talk.
I see it. Yeah, and I feel like that's the thing for me, is I love people, and I've always had this wonderful collection of people and souls that have come into my life, and I find that so magical, and so I love being able to think that I, and I've learned beautiful new things about you. I've known you for years now, and here we've kind of opened up this kind of beautiful onion and found out so much more about your journey. And I think that that's what we're all stepping into right now, is kind of more of the discovery of just like the magic around us, the people around us, the community that we live in. There's so much magic everywhere.
And that we actually must spells right now. This is a time where we must. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep.
We are needed. We are very much needed.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, Maribeth, your website is fundamentallyharmonic.com. And if any of our listeners are out there, can you do distant workshops? Does it have to be local to the Monadnock area?
Yeah, I do everything I'm doing it right now is distance-based. So, yeah, and I worked with a client in Saudi Arabia last week. Which is
and
pretty awesome.
That's kind of magical that this world is kind of getting to the point now where we're kind of opening up too. So very neat. So I know that I've got listeners in Australia. It's kind of interesting when I've been looking at my maps. I've got people all over the globe that listen to this. So
awesome.
You do not have to be in the quiet corner of the Monadnock area to work with Maribeth, and you can, and this wonderful new world that we have, there's more possibilities open to us. So check out fundamentallyharmonic.com and more information. I know that, do you have some of the information you did on Facebook, do you have like a YouTube channel where you do some of your channelings as well? Or
I do have a YouTube channel. I think that this is hilarious because I don't actually know what it's called. I think it's Fundamentally Harmonic. I have several YouTube channels, so that's great.
I tend to, too. I will find it, and we'll post it under the episode.
Great.
So that way, if anyone
great
is interested, I'll post the website. We'll post some more information about you so people can contact you directly to work with you and learn more about your healing. And I just want to thank you for the work that you're doing in this world and this community, and I just think that you're a beautiful soul and a beautiful light, and I appreciate you, and I'm so honored to be among your circle in this universe, so thank you.
Thank you so, so much for having me on your show. I had no idea it would be so amazing and beautiful, and thank you for seeing me. I think that's the other thing. Really, I think because we need to be seen as well, so thank you for seeing me. And I see you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
And thank you for hearing me.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
Yes.
You bet.
All right.
You
This has been an episode of Inside the Heart Quest 2020, a journey where we interview artists, actors, healers, and humans of all sorts that follow their heart. Our special guest today has been Maribeth Hallinan. You can find out more about her on her website, fundamentallyharmonic.com. This is Paige Johnson signing off on Blog Talk Radio. I hope you all have a wonderful night. Blessed be. Bye-bye.